Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Financial Exchange with Barry Armstrong and Mike Armstrong. Your exclusive look at business and financial news affecting your day, your city, your world. Stay informed and up to date about economic and market trends. Plus, get breaking business news every day. The Financial Exchange proudly supports the Disabled American Veterans Department of Massachusetts. Registration is now open for this year's DAV 5K on Saturday, November 6th. Go to financialexchangeshow.com/DAV for details. And now, it's time for the Financial Exchange with Barry Armstrong and Mike Armstrong.
Fuel prices are rising, interest rates are rising, but so is the stock market. Good morning, everybody. It's Barry and Michael with you here on a Tuesday. And the markets are up across the board. NASDAQ up about 108 points, the S&P up 22, and the Dow up 82. And Michael, all of this occurring on a day where we're going to get some big earning announcements after the market closes.
Yeah, we are. And by the way, Barry, oil price is actually down 8 cents a barrel right now. So
The trend is up.
We're sitting at $84 a barrel right now. Nat gas prices way up as well. We saw nat gas prices up, I think, 12% yesterday. So it's going to be a rough winter for a lot of people when it comes to not only heating their home, but a lot of prices are up. But to your point, thus far, stock market continuing to rally. And, you know, while we're seeing inflation in all the things that we buy, we're also seeing inflation in asset prices, real estate prices, stock market prices, et cetera. And yeah, big, as we mentioned yesterday, big earnings week out there. We had Facebook report after the bell yesterday. We'll cover that soon, but after the bell today, we'll have Microsoft, Twitter, as well as Google parent Alphabet, Robinhood, Visa also going after the close. And then prior to market open this morning, we had UPS, General Electric, 3M, Raytheon, and Lockheed Martin all reporting earnings in a very busy week here for earnings reports and growth.
Let's take a look at the Facebook earnings, because one of the things that had an impact on Facebook was Apple's new privacy policy. And while it didn't stop the growth for Facebook, it did slow down the growth at Facebook for advertising sales.
It did, but I'll tell you look at the difference here between the reaction of Facebook compared to the reaction of Snapchat. And it there are a lot of reasons that I am not a big fan of Facebook and their business practices, but I'll tell you what, the monopoly that I think they have built is pretty good at withstanding whatever policies get thrown at them, whereas a company like Snapchat, who's really got one product, and that product is really heavily reliant on Apple, is taking a hit. So Snapchat was the first social media company, or the first large social media company to report earnings, and they noticed a significant drop in their revenue tied to advertising with data coming from the Apple iOS platform. And effectively, what iOS did here, and everyone that operates an iPhone has probably seen one of those pop-ups come at this point saying, do you want your information to be shared with this application? Prior to all of this, a company like Facebook or like Snapchat was able to not only see what you were doing on your iPhone in the Facebook application, but then be able to track you across other applications. So you go from Facebook to then opening up a Safari browser and type in ask for information on this brewery or this restaurant, and then check your email after that. Facebook was able to track across those different applications and build a really clear profile of who you are, where you live, what your interests are, and about how old you are. And they can still track and see what you do within Facebook, but that's where the data is cut off. They have the profile of you in Facebook or in Snapchat, but other than that, they cannot build this full, well-rounded profile that they had on people. And so advertisers
are
finding...
So I'm clear, if I go to Amazon and I start shopping for blue jeans, Facebook's not going to know that I was shopping for blue jeans on Amazon?
Is that what you're saying? As long as you told Apple that you don't want that information shared.
Right.
And they're prompting you now. You used to have to be able to shut that down actively, and now they prompt you saying, do you want this shared with Facebook or Amazon or Snapchat?
Okay.
So that is the big change that has been made, and now what you're hearing is, if you go talk to small business owners that previously used the Facebook or Snapchat platforms in order to reach their audience, they're having a much more difficult time doing so. There was the example of, I mentioned a brewery for a reason. There was a brewery that was doing a bunch of advertising on Facebook, and they found that the amount that they had to spend since April in order to attract the same number of customers was about tenfold. They were attracting one tenth as many customers to their sites using the same methods that they were before, because they could not appropriately target the right customers anymore. Which, again, I argue that all of this stuff is a good thing. Now, when it comes to Facebook specifically, they did see a decline in some of these revenues. I think the big reason we didn't see such a dramatic decline is that this is an incredibly diversified company, right? I mean, I think it's important to keep in mind that Apple iPhone users are a big chunk of their users, but they're probably not the biggest, right? If we look at all of their users worldwide, the iPhone is incredibly popular here in the United States, and very popular elsewhere too, but it's not the most popular device in Europe and in parts of Africa where they still sell advertisements and things like that. So I think their scale and their different business units are what's holding this company up a little bit here. I mean, keep in mind that this company, not just Facebook, they own Instagram, they own a messaging platform, WhatsApp, they own their marketplace. And so, revenue did slow down. But frankly, if there's one company that's going to be fine without the Apple data, it's going to be Google. If there's a second company that's going to be okay, it's probably going to be Facebook. I tend to think that of the social media advertising companies out there, Facebook probably has the engineering and tech capabilities to figure out who they still need to advertise to. And so I think what investors are doing today is selling the stock. The stock's down, 1.7% on the earnings news from yesterday afternoon. Yep. 1.8% now. But I think most investors are looking at this and saying, this is probably a temporary phenomenon. Advertisers aren't going to pull this spending and suddenly go pour all this money back into print advertising or, maybe hopefully it all comes to AM
Where
radio.
Would the money go if it leaves Facebook for advertising purposes? Does it go to Google? Does it go to Amazon? Where would these advertising you referenced the brewer that suffered a decline in effectiveness of the ads. He's not going to do that forever, right? They're going to eventually say, well, we got to try our advertising somewhere else.
Right. I mean, I think Google is a logical place. I think Apple's hoping that it comes to them. Hey, we're not sharing this information anywhere, but we've got darn good profiles of our own users, and we're not going to share that data with you, but you can still target customers through Apple Podcasts or many of our different products that are out there. So I think Apple's certainly hoping to pick up some of this business. But like I said, I think that honestly, it returns to Facebook. I think it's just going to be this temporary phenomenon where Facebook needs to figure out how they're going to still build those same profiles and be successful at driving customers to those advertising platforms. I think the bigger concern for Facebook, I think they're going to have severe regulatory challenges over the next few years, if not from the United States, then from places like the UK and the EU. Frances Haugen is over there testifying. I think yesterday she was testifying in front of Parliament in the UK, and next week I think she's in front of the EU Parliament. So I think that is going to be a going trend. But then yesterday we were covering the story that, the engagement and users on the Facebook platform itself continues to get older and older, and the younger users are not engaging as much. And so more than any of this stuff, that's what I think is the concern for Facebook, is can you continue to track the eyes of your longest term customers?
Where are the younger users going, though? Because Snapchat's numbers weren't very good either. So are they going to Twitter, or are they kind of dropping out of social media? It doesn't seem like it.
Chuck and I were debating this. He said that he's getting sick of social media in general, but I don't think that's the trend overall. I think it's going to TikTok. I think, you know, some Snapchat's revenue numbers were bad, but their user numbers weren't bad. And so, you know, I think, you know, Instagram is another place, and Facebook owns that product. So I think, you know, from that perspective, they have that a bit cornered. But on their core offering, which, by the way, happens to generate the most revenue per user of any social media platform out there that I'm aware of, it's not attracting that younger customer who, again, from a spending perspective, maybe not the most important, but in terms of determining what is going to be the most popular social media application of the future, it's all important. Those Gen Z, you know, 18-year-olds today drive far more of that future growth than the millennial or the baby boomer.
You know, I saw a term that I hadn't heard before. It's called metaverse. And when we come back, Michael's going to explain what Facebook's doing in creating a metaverse. That's next on the Financial Exchange.
Wall Street Watch, a full update on the market's performance to date. Weekdays at 10:30, only here on the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
As a business owner, we know the challenges of managing a budget during volatile economic times. So do the folks at Stony Brook Water. They've priced their water coolers so perfectly that signing up with them was a no-brainer, because we knew it'd help save us money. Their lease deals are incredible, and the one we went with saved us 20% on our overall costs this year so far. Stop wasting money on cases of bottled water or those massive 5-gallon jugs that are so heavy to move. Provide your employees with a superior product and save significantly in the process. Like all of you who listen to the show, we are excited that the economy continues to get stronger, but so far, that hasn't made it easier to manage your budgets. Call Stony Brook Water today at 978-381-1476 and order your new Ion Cooler right now. They're sleek, lightweight, and will fit on any countertop. And most importantly, they'll deliver the purest, freshest water in every glass. That number again is 978-381-1476, or you can visit them online at stonybrookwater.com. Stony Brook Water, water the way it should be.
The DAV 5K, proudly presented by Encore Boston Harbor, is Saturday, November 6th. This year, we all finish in the Ford. To register for the DAV 5K and support the Disabled American Veterans of Massachusetts, visit DAV5K.Boston. That's DAV5K.Boston.
We're about to learn what a metaverse is, and I didn't really understand it. I do understand, though, that Facebook is carving out about $10 billion a year to develop the metaverse. So it's got to be something of substance, Michael.
Does it?
Well, it's $10 billion a year. I mean, you got to get something for $10 billion a year. I know a billion doesn't go as far as it used to.
So Mark Zuckerberg's idea of the metaverse is a 3D virtual reality world, which he sees as kind of the next phase of the internet, where instead of just interacting with each other on Facebook's, you know, plain application, we are exploring in this this world via potentially virtual reality, interacting through avatars and I don't know. That's basically it. It's not all that exciting to me. I don't know what world Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, it doesn't it just kind of seem like an eccentric billionaire coming up with his, I don't know, pet project that may or may not go anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it
It sounds like a video game.
Well, it reminded me of Star Trek. Remember the old Star Trek shows where you would, like, be transformed from one world to another?
That's not it. I mean, go watch like a futuristic sci-fi movie about someone using an avatar, and that's basically.
I don't know. I think Barry's onto something, because they do have the Facebook portal.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Maybe
Barry's onto something.
Maybe I misjudged it. Yeah, they're going to start breaking out this unit and pouring a lot of money into it, and maybe it goes somewhere. But it's Mark Zuckerberg's future view of the internet, which I got to say, I don't want to live in Mark Zuckerberg's view of the future anything at all.
Yeah, but I mean, he's got, what, 3 billion users globally? I mean, it's...
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of people that use the platform. We'll see where this exactly goes. I mean, like I said, nobody is using virtual reality right now, and that seems to be one of the key features of his metaverse idea. Mm-hmm. So there's a long ways to go. There's a long ways to go before we have to deal with this next problem. But I think perhaps importantly, lawmakers in Congress seem to be focusing a lot more on the Facebook algorithms. They seem to have concluded that Section 230, for a number of reasons, is going to be difficult to change in and of itself. So instead, their goal is to go after the algorithms that Facebook and other companies employ in order to, you know, push a lot of these issues. And I think where I land on all of this, I've been thinking a lot about, you know, this whole situation, Section 230, the massive amount of bad information that occurs on Facebook and many other platforms would be, Section 230 exists for a reason, right? If I have a website with a blog and, you know, I'm running the Armstrong Advisory Group website and somebody posts something terrible on there that's completely make-believe, I shouldn't be liable for that. On the other hand, if I have a series of algorithms on the Armstrong Advisory Group website that repost that information and intentionally draw a bunch of eyes to it and make it the most viewed thing on Facebook or on the Armstrong Advisory Group website, that fundamentally is a different thing, right? One is just, hey, I'm not liable for some idiot posting something that is provably false.
Right.
The other would be I'm taking that provably false information and then distributing it to millions, hundreds of millions of my users. And that's the problem that Facebook faces. You know, I think other social media platforms like Snapchat have done a admittedly better job about policing this sort of thing. You know, Snapchat is traditionally just a application to share messages between friends, but they do have a platform where they allow things to go viral and post to a wider community. But the way that works is once it gets to a certain threshold, they have human beings review it and they determine whether or not it's something they want to be on the platform. Up until recently, there was almost none of that going on at Facebook. And so that's, you know, the more and more we learn about this company and the operations under the hood, I think the more and more people are going to have problems with it. And, you know, part of it too is just the hazard of attempting to run a company that crosses pretty much every border other than China and North Korea, where, you know, you have to be an expert on the cultures of hundreds of different countries and hundreds of different dialects of languages. And they just, they don't have that. They don't get it right. And so, you know, we have problems with Facebook here domestically. They're probably far worse in a lot of other countries in terms of misinformation.
Yeah. No doubt. Hey, big news last night that Hertz, the auto rental company, ordered 100,000 Teslas. They ordered the, I believe it was the Model 3, and starting sometime, I believe later this year, November, December, when you go to the airports, you'll start seeing Teslas show up as an available vehicle for you to rent.
They will. Yeah, and the other big news on that is Tesla, on that news, surpassed the $1 trillion market capitalization threshold and joined the $1 trillion club along with Apple, Facebook, Microsoft, several others. That now puts, just for some scale here, Tesla's market capitalization is now larger than the next 9 largest auto producers combined.
Yeah.
Volkswagen, General Motors, Hyundai, Ford. Larger than all 9 of the next biggest auto producers combined, in spite of selling far fewer vehicles. So,
and Elon Musk's personal wealth is like almost $300 billion, as I understand.
Yeah.
$289
billion? Yeah, so again, the wealthiest man in the world as far as I know. So, yeah, Tesla, look, there is plenty to critique this company about. Plenty to critique the CEO about as well, but they are doing something that nobody else is doing. I'd be interested in your opinion on Hertz's decision here. Like, great news for Tesla, but it really speaks to something that, you know, people so desperately want to drive these vehicles that Hertz is willing to spend, what was it, like $4.2 billion on building out this fleet of vehicles?
But also understand, Michael, their logic behind it is there's no maintenance. You know, you buy these vehicles, like it, when Hertz has to service all of those vehicles.
That has nothing to do with it. If it was all just about the maintenance, wouldn't they have gone with the cheapest EV out there, like the Hyundai Ioniq, for half the price of a Tesla?
No, because they don't have the range and they don't have the reliability.
They do now. And they don't have compared to the Model 3. The only reason they are doing this is because this is an immensely popular car that people want to drive. If it were just about the cheap maintenance costs or anything like that, it would be a no-brainer to, you know, go buy a Bolt or a Hyundai or a Volkswagen EV. They'd be able to produce them faster and get them on the lots faster than Tesla will be able to. The difference is that Tesla is building a vehicle that people want to buy and drive, really not because it's electric. I don't think that has all that much to do with it. I'm in that camp. I don't care that it's electric. I just think it's a really cool car with a lot of really interesting features, and that's why I want to drive it.
Oh, by the way, the stock is up 18% now between yesterday and now today.
No, and I disagree with Michael. There's a lot of, for Hertz, you know, think about it. You're going to, well, we'll talk about it when we return. I'll explain to all of you why Michael is wrong.
Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at TFE Show. Breaking business news is always first, right here on the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Time now for Wall Street Watch, a complete look at what's moving markets so far today, right here on the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
Wall Street Watch presented by DCU, Digital Federal Credit Union. What will DCU mean to you? Membership required. Find out today by visiting DCU.org. We're joined now by Brendan Hayes from the Armstrong Advisory Group. And Brendan, hot day out there on the markets again. NASDAQ up almost 1% at the moment.
Yeah, it's great seeing green across the board. Dow Jones is up about 134 points, or about a third of a percent. S&P doing a little bit better, about 0.65% up on the day. Like you say, the NASDAQ up almost 1%, which brings it just about to 1% of a record high, while the S&P and both Dow are setting all-time highs. You know, it's actually quite amazing how resilient investors have been in light of the supply chain issues, the, you know, inflationary pressures that are coming out there. But, you know, you look at the shares of Tesla, right? They're rallying again on top of yesterday's gains. We're waiting for earnings to come out for the likes of Google, Twitter, AMD. That's going to happen today. Amazon and Apple later this week. Facebook, we did see a little gain earlier, kind of mixed results. The one thing that I find most fascinating about this most recent reporting was that Facebook has, they're going to be breaking out what's called Facebook Reality Labs. Mm. And for those folks that are listening that haven't heard yet about the metaverse, it's going to be a really interesting road that technology is going down. It has all to do with virtual reality and the products related to it. But they're anticipating that they're going to be putting about $10 billion of operating profit into the creation or furtherance of this metaverse. So Facebook Reality Labs are going to be kind of reporting out in their own structure. What else do we have? Let's see. Right now, the S&P is up about 6% in October, which is their best month since November of 20.
And talk to me about Stamford, Connecticut-based Crane Company. I can't say I'm familiar with them. Industrial products company that's up nearly 10% this morning.
Yeah, you know, and that's what's so great about the stock market. There's so many companies out there and that don't get that recognition. And you're talking about this company has been around since 1855, so it's not a company that is new to the marketplace. But Crane Company, they're all about both manufacturing and selling engineered industrial products, not just here in the U.S., but Canada, U.K., Europe, and really internationally. They have a couple different segments, fluid handling segment. So as you can expect, that would be like the big valves that go into chemical, oil, gas, power industries. You know, they sell these types of products through, what's interesting, 30 different product names, right? So there's a lot of different companies out there that have, you know, contracted for this particular line. They also have an aerospace and electronics segment. In addition, they have an engineered material segment. And I love this one because these fiberglass reinforced plastic panels, those are what go into the recreational vehicles, truck bodies, trailers. So you kind of think about it, right? Everybody's buying, you know, recreational vehicles. They need more, you know, trailers today. So it's no wonder why their quarterly earnings came in at $1.89 a share, which is a surprise of over 30%. To put that into perspective, a year ago, their earnings were $1.05 a share. You know, when we look at the stock price itself, it's coming in at about $102.70. 5 years ago, you're talking about a stock that was trading at about $73.50 a share. 52-week high, 52-week low, $49, with a 52-week high of 106.1. They have a forward-looking PE of 13.35 with a dividend, right, of $1.82 a share. So that's Crane Company, and they're moving the market a bit today.
That's Brendan Hayes from the Armstrong Advisor Group joining us for Crane Company for Wall Street Watch, ticker symbol there, CR. Thank you, Brendan.
All right, thank you, Mike.
And that is Wall Street Watch presented by DCU Digital Federal Credit Union. What will DCU mean to you? Membership required. Find out today by visiting DCU.org.
I needed a new car I could rely on, so I got an auto loan from DCU. The rates are low, and I was able to borrow a little extra to make a used car as good as new. What will DCU mean to you? Insured by NCUA. Membership required. Visit DCU.org.
GE earnings exceed estimates as the aviation gains buoy their turnaround. GE, based out of Boston, a pretty good quarter, but not knocking the cover off the ball. What's the stock doing this morning, Michael?
We are up 2.5. So, yeah, I mean, it was... GE doesn't need to knock the cover off the ball at this point. They just need to prove that they can actually do their core competency. And, you know, I think, frankly, the push over the next few years for both, you know, the Democrats' green energy bill, which I think is one of those things that is likely to stay in the, you know, proposed bill that's going to make its way through Congress in all likelihood, as well as the recovery of the airline sector, both work in GE's favor so long as they can actually properly execute on that. And like you mentioned, GE stock up 2.5% today. But Barry, you told me that you were going to explain why I am wrong about Tesla. So, I mean, that's what I was more interested in hearing about. So.
Well, I just think you get to the airport. You're flying to Philadelphia or some city that you're not terribly familiar with, right?
Yep.
You get to the airport, you jump in the car, you punch in the address as to where you want to go, and the car takes you there. You know, you have to drive a little bit, but you don't have to pay a lot. It's a lot easier doing that than it is flying to Philadelphia and jumping in a Ford and trying to figure out,
that
first of all,
that is precisely my point, Barry. Yeah, that's exactly my point. And yes, you're right. The technology isn't there yet. I also don't have any information. I kind of doubt, actually, that Hertz is going with the full self-driving Teslas as part of this. But what you just described, the reason that Hertz is buying a bunch of Teslas has nothing to do with the fact that it's an EV. Everything you just described there was nothing to do with an electric vehicle.
No maintenance, Michael. Think about how much Hertz spends on maintaining their fleet. I've had a Tesla now for, I don't know, a year and a half. You know how many times it's been into the shop? Zero.
That's precisely my point.
There's no oil changes. You have to put air in the tire now and then. You know, it's like there's nothing to do on the things.
Right, but that's not what differentiates Tesla. Every electric vehicle falls into that same bucket. What differentiates Tesla is that it is a good-looking car that people want to drive, and I think most importantly, they are furthest along in anything related to self-driving technology. I mean, nobody is even close to them. It is not the standalone fact that they are an electric vehicle that has no maintenance, because there are pretty much every car company in the world is now talking about producing an electric vehicle that doesn't require any maintenance. Where they fall down is, I mean, in GM's case, they happen to catch fire and, in my opinion, are ugly as hell. And in none of those cases do they have a product that competes with Tesla's autopilot, full self-driving features, which admittedly buggy and, you know, problematic, but nobody's out there with anything better. So that's,
we should ask Mark Fields why he did this deal, because he's the interim CEO at Hertz.
Okay.
And former CEO of Ford, by the way. Up next, we're going to be joined by Kevin Redmond. He's the chief creative strategist at Fuse Ideas. He's going to talk to us about the Facebook rebranding next.
Breaking business and financial news first throughout the day, only here on the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
Today, we are joined by Dan Stack, the CEO of Disabled American Veterans Department of Massachusetts. Dan, thanks for joining us in the studio.
Oh, good to talk with you again, Chuck.
Tell us a little bit about the DAV 5K that's coming up on November 6th on Veterans Day weekend.
We are so pleased to have the DAV 5K back in person this year. It would be nice to see all the faces of those who support the Disabled American Veterans of Massachusetts.
And I know we have a running team here at the Financial Exchange, and we're really proud to support the DAV. How do people get more information and get registered for this year's DAV 5K?
Anyone who would like to support the DAV or register to run or walk in this year's 5K can visit DAV5K.Boston. And Chuck, I want to give a big thank you to our presenting partner of the DAV 5K, our friends at Encore Boston Harbor.
For more information on how you can support the Disabled American Veterans of Massachusetts or register for this year's DAV 5K, visit DAV5K.Boston.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If the Wall Street roller coaster has you scratching your head, check out our brand new podcast, Dumb Questions for Smart Money, an easy way to gain some knowledge about the latest trends in the business and financial industry without the brain pain that comes with it. Listen and learn to Dumb Questions for Smart Money. Subscribe today on Apple, Spotify, and all your favorite podcast apps.
We're joined now by Kevin Redmond. He's the chief creative strategist at Fuse Ideas, and joining us to talk about the Facebook rebranding effort that seems to be underway that we covered first last week. And we've been talking a lot about Facebook on the show today with their earnings coming out. Kevin, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So we discussed this on the show last week, and I think the general conclusion on our end was you don't change the problems that you have with a company by just changing the name, and it might kind of blow up in their faces on this, but certainly not the first big tech company to undergo a significant change like this. I'd be interested in your opinion on, Yeah, Facebook is such a household name at this point. They've only almost become a verb in the way that Uber and Google have. What is your opinion on the idea of rebranding, especially in, you know, a potential time of crisis, you know, just generally speaking?
Yeah, to cut to the chase, it's a bad idea. You know, okay. I think they've come under a lot of heat recently with, Francis Haugen leaking thousands of documents, giving testimony to the Senate, you know, that they're putting profits before people, right? And she's saying that, they're harming children, they're destabilizing democracies. So some pretty big talk, but, there's a lot to back it up. We've seen it over the last couple of years, and with these documents now being leaked, they're really exposed here. But, the net is you can't put a fresh coat of paint over this, and it's not going to go away.
I tend to agree with you. But that said, they're not the first company to go out there and do this. Can you put this in the context of Google's decision to rebrand as Alphabet? I don't know how many years ago that was. That 5 to 7 years ago, if memory serves me?
Yeah, it feels like that. Time goes fast. Yeah, so Google did this. They changed the name of their holding company to Alphabet. And that was to position them as a broader, more than a search engine company.
Sure. I mean, they're YouTube, they're Google, they've got all sorts of other businesses underneath all of that. It made sense to me, I guess.
Yeah, but if you think about it, we still use the word Google, right?
We do.
That's still associated with the search engine. They've got such equity behind that, it's hard to walk away from that. So I think, Facebook is considering a certain move. When they talk about the rebrand, when I first heard about it, I thought it was, they're just going to change the name and, try to put a fresh coat of paint over it. But they say that this is part of a broader business strategy. So it's changing the name of the holding company, similar to what Google did, so that Facebook would still be the name of the social media platform, because they also own, Facebook owns a number of other products, including Instagram, WhatsApp, the popular text messaging app. And a couple years ago, they acquired Oculus, which is a big virtual reality platform technology company. So then, the thinking is, Facebook would still be the name for this, social media app, but then they would change the name of the holding company. Again, I think it's the timing of this is curious. That might be something they were talking about doing before, but obviously the timing is a little suspect with everything else that's going on right now. It's a little bit of a look over here distraction move.
Yeah, I was going to wonder if maybe we're just questioning or if we're associating too much of this with all of the stuff going on with Francis Haugen and all the controversy that they're mired in at this exact moment, and how much of it might actually just have to do with the fact that, look, Facebook, especially among younger users, is declining in popularity, and there are other platforms like Instagram and WhatsApp are kind of surging more among that user demographic, and it might just be, important to rebrand around that idea.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think that they're always kind of gunning for what's next. Zuckerberg is infamously paranoid about, something else coming out and and them being replaced by the new technology. That's why they acquire all these companies, right? They went out and Instagram with something on its own, and they snapped them up, the same with Oculus years ago. So I think they are trying to, look towards the future and build something bigger. But I don't, the timing of this is very suspect. In terms of the Oculus stuff, there is, a couple articles that have been out on this that they're really making a push here and trying to create what they call a metaverse.
Keep hearing about the metaverse.
Yeah, right, different from the multiverse in the Marvel comics. But, the metaverse, which is basically like, Pokemon Go is an example of that, where you use your iPhone or VR headset or some sort of device to have like an augmented reality layer, virtual reality layer on top of the world that you're seeing. And they've apparently got some products out there called Horizon Workrooms, where people can have these virtual meetings and phone calls in a metaverse and sit around a virtual table and virtual whiteboard. So there's some pretty powerful stuff coming out there. I just, again, think the timing of it is really suspect, and they're in a lot of trouble with the SEC and the Senate right now, so you can't put a fresh coat of paint over that.
Couldn't agree more. Kevin Redmond is the chief creative strategist at Fuse Ideas, joining us to talk about the Facebook rebranding effort that seems to be underway. Kevin, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Take care.
Salute to our soldiers on the Financial Exchange is brought to you by the Disabled American Veterans Department of Massachusetts. You can register today for this year's DAV 5K road race taking place on Saturday, November 6th at Fort Independence. Visit DAV5K.Boston for more information. Today, we'd like to honor Mr. Ron Dalbeck. Ron is a retired respiratory therapist and a Vietnam veteran as a member of the U.S. Army from 1968 to 1971. Mr. Dalbeck is a 45-year life member of the DAV. If you'd like to help support the Disabled American Veterans Department of Massachusetts and register for this year's DAV 5K, please visit DAV5K.Boston. Let's all finish at the Fort on Saturday, November 6th, and support these great American heroes.
If you're looking to buy corporate bonds, pretty good chance that you're going to be considering a bank bond. They are issuing bonds at a much more rapid rate than any other industry, Michael.
Yeah, so financial institutions this year are the issuers behind more than a third of total U.S. investment grade debt. So if you're out there purchasing a bond ETF or bond fund, financial services likely to play a growing role in there. They've already always been a big chunk of any debt market that's out there. The reasons behind this, so you might look at this and say, they're getting ready for big growth. It's actually a really technical when it comes to why they do things like this. I'm sure there is some business motivation behind it as well and growth motivation there. But after the Dodd-Frank Act was passed, following the financial crisis, there is a requirement that long-term debt has to make up a minimum share of the total bank liabilities. The idea there is that when you have longer-term debt, you're less susceptible to the panic of these short-term funding markets, mm-hmm. like happened with the Lehman Brothers crisis. And so, effectively, these banks have been taking in bigger and bigger deposits. Loan demand has remained pretty weak, and they're generally speaking, in a lot of these cases, being forced to go and raise debt in the long-term debt markets, which is why you're seeing this from the likes of Goldman, JP Morgan, Bank of America, et cetera. Motivation, regulation aside, there is a pretty good motivation to go borrow at these ultra low interest rates. And if there are any companies that know when it's a good time to borrow and when the markets are ready for it, it would certainly be these giant financial institutions that generally facilitate all of the bond issuances to begin with.
But it's counterintuitive. You would think deposits are higher than they've ever been, and they don't have loan demand. So after reading this story, I said to myself, well, it's illogical. It's really just a regulatory issue, meaning when they designed Dodd-Frank, they said, well, you guys have to go out and borrow money.
You have to back up your deposits with debt. Different types of long-term debt. And so I'm with you. It's there are a lot of pieces of Dodd-Frank that you look at and you say, what exactly is the purpose of this? And in this case, you're right. Everybody has additional padding in their bank accounts. They're not spending quite as much as they did previously. And they're not borrowing as much as they did previously. And so nonetheless, these banks are being forced to borrow in the long-term debt markets. And that's just one of those impacts of the Great Recession that is a little bit, you scratch your head at a little bit.
Yeah, you sure do. And markets are open. They're all in positive territory. The S&P is up 30 points. The Dow's up 120 points. NASDAQ's up 149 points. Price of crude oil, this is of concern. Price of crude oil is up another 41 cents a barrel at $84.17. We will talk about oil in the next hour of the Financial Exchange.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.